Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, ending in chapter 10, verse 4, where we see that when we are recipients of grace, we are also to give grace to others. When we understand grace, we can be world changers, religion changers, and we can also give people the same freedom that we have received for their soul. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35.
Man, what a blessing to be with you guys this morning. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. If you have a Bible, you could turn it open to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Our ushers are in the back. If you didn't bring one with you this morning, they have some in their hands, ready to bring to you at your seat. If you raise your hand, they'll come, they'll find you, they'll bring one to you. See, the people that already know the drill, they're beating you to it. So hurry up and get those hands up. We only have so many Bibles, which is a great problem to have. And we'd love to get one to you at your seat this morning. And so we want you to follow along in God's Word with us. We want you to see. We don't give our opinions here. We don't go through a curriculum here. We move through God's Word line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And we want you to see it for yourself. Matthew chapter 9, beginning our reading in verse 35. So normally I read through the verses collectively. Then we pray and then we study on Sundays. But I'll tell you something. I can't forfeit those 2 minutes that it takes me to read through in the beginning. I need all my time today. If you guys want to eat lunch, I need all my time today. First service went a little long, so we'll just go through it as we go through it. And we'll let the Lord speak to our hearts. It says this here in verse 35 of chapter 9. It says, and Jesus went about all of the cities and all of the villages. I'm thankful because right away I read that word village, I think of Spencerport. And I love that Jesus isn't just some big hotshot that only goes to the big metropolitan areas where it's, you know, really, you know, popular and big and huge and where all the excitement is happening and it's, you know, a lot going on. He goes to the cities and he goes to the villages. He still does that today. He goes to the small towns and he makes his way through and he goes there doing three things. He's teaching in their synagogues. So he's expanding the old. And then it says that he's preaching the gospel, he's giving the new, and then he's healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So he's preaching, he's teaching, and he's healing. That is sort of a summation of the ministry of Jesus Christ when he was here on earth. And it tells us this, as he's going about and as he's doing these things, he then sees, verse 36, multitudes of people. Listen, I touched this with you guys at the close of service last week. If we're Christians, now I want to be clear this morning. I'm talking primarily to Christians today. Because if you're not a Christian, you don't love Jesus, you haven't given him your life yet, a lot of this is just a trip that I would be putting on you otherwise. It's not fair to you. If you want to come to Jesus, you want to follow Jesus, the invitation is open wide to you. So don't get me wrong. But I don't want you to feel like there's a pressure on you to do something when you don't even follow Jesus. So I want to, when I'm preaching, I want to be clear who I'm talking to. In this message primarily this morning, when I say, hey, Christian, Jesus is calling, it's the calling that's after conversion. If you're here today and you have not yet given your life to Jesus, he's calling you too, but he's calling you to salvation first. So he loves you just the same. Don't get me wrong. I just don't want you to get ripped off and thinking, man, he wants me to do stuff for him. Well, if that's how you feel, you probably just don't know him yet. That's all it is. But if you know him, this is for you. Now, Christian, Jesus, he goes and he sees. We talked about this a little bit last week. We've got to develop as his Christ followers. That's what Christian means. As mini Christ, as we go about the city, as we go about the village, we got to learn to begin to see people. We've got to lift our heads up. We got to lift our eyes off our cell phones. It's said that the average American swipes their cell phone 150 times a day minimally. We are a people that walk with our heads down. We go into Starbucks that way. We go into Wegmans that way. We go into the office that way. Some of you drive your cars that way. You ever drive next to somebody and their head's down texting? Or some of you ladies, you fascinate me. You're doing your eye thing. You're curling your eyes as you're driving. Just, you're doing that. It's amazing to me how some of you guys are still alive the way that you drive, you know. I'm the guy who beeps and says, no, don't do that, you know. And I'm only doing that out of fun, but I do like startling people a little bit. I'll be honest with you. But we've got to learn as a culture, as Christians, because Americans, I'm American, so I can be real with you guys as Americans. As Americans, we're so self-consumed. We have the attitude, it's all about me, right? Don't you sort of agree a little bit? I mean, we're a very vain culture. We're a very self-obsessed culture. And we've got to learn as we go about our business through the cities, through the villages, we've got to learn to lift our head ups and look so that we can see what God wants to show us. And listen, this is what it is. People. He wants to show us people. God put us in this world, not just to save us for our own selves, but to save us to make an impact on the culture and the world around us. In other words, your cause and your purpose is bigger than you. And you've got to develop as a follower of Christ that mentality so that when you go about your life, your business, on lunch break, in the break room, in the gym, wherever you are, you're starting to have this like, I wonder if this person needs something from me. I wonder if I can help this person. And if you just lift your eyes up and you look at their eyes, the eyes are the gateway to the soul. You can tell a lot about what's going on in somebody's life. They're not just a receptor, they're a reflector of what's going on within them. But a lot of us aren't even willing to look, let alone perceive what's going on in somebody's life. You know what I'm saying? So as followers of Jesus, we should be concerned. As followers of Jesus, we should care about humanity around us. It tells us here that when Jesus saw the multitudes, verse 36, it's a phrase that's only used of Jesus outside of parables, and it's always about the world's distress. He was moved with compassion. He's moved with compassion, it says, because these people all around him are fainting and they're scattering as sheep that have no shepherd. I mean, I feel like that's Rochester. People all around us are fainting, and people all around us are scattered, and people all around us are sort of meandering through life, just sort of like with really no end goal or purpose, just trying to make it through day to day, have a retirement, have a family, and then that they don't really know what to do beyond that. Do you know what I'm talking about? We're surrounded by that atmosphere, and Jesus wants to show us that, and then he wants to put that same Like pain in our guts as he had, because that's the description here. It's a twisting of the bowels. It's a I can't just see this and not do something about it. Jesus wants to set our hearts ablaze. He wants to give us a pain, a burden for the world around us so that we don't just say, oh, geez, I pity those people. He wants to say, no, I have compassion for those people. I've got to go out there and do something. There's a difference. You get a nosebleed right now in the middle of service and I say, oh, I pity you. I hope you find a tissue. Keep going here. If I see you have a nosebleed and it's like you're gushing and you're like, oh man, my nose is gushing. It's a different story if I say, hang on, church. I run back there. I get tissues. I run back. I give you some tissues. I tilt your head back. I put that ice on top of your nose. It'd be weird, but this is just something I'm coming up with on the spot here. And I just start to help you. I start to do something for you. Like so many times we're guilty of, oh, you're going through that. Oh, you're fainting. Oh, you're scattered. Oh, you have no goal. Oh, you don't really know what you're on the planet for. I'll pray that God reveals it to you. Instead of, can I tell you? Can I pray for you? Can I show you? Oh, you're broke? I'll pray that God gives you a job. Instead of, I'll go to Wegmans to get you a gift card or make you a meal. There's a difference between pity and compassion. When you pity somebody, you really don't do much. It's just, I see what you got going on, but I'm not going to do anything for you for what you got going on. Compassion is, I've got to do something. Jesus was that way. He sees multitudes of people. He doesn't say, oh, that's a drug addict over there. That's a junkie over there. That's a bum over there. That's a Democrat over there. That's a Republican over there. He doesn't, no. There's no insult there. I'm being sincere. He doesn't categorize people. He sees human beings. And he sees sheep, not goats. And he sees past the surface. Listen, he sees past our skin. And he sees the depths of the person. And he understands that they need to know that they were created for something so much more than what they're experiencing right now. Lou Palmer was telling me before service today that what we have in our lives, our physical frames, our beings, nothing is from birth that is the same that we have today. Do you know that? That every 7 years is a turnover of every cell in your body, and it's completely different from the day that you were born. The only thing that's the exact same about you since you were born is your soul. When Jesus sees you, he sees your soul. He doesn't see your hairdo. He doesn't see the neighborhood that you're from, the color of your skin, your culture. He sees your soul. He sees souls out there. And he wants our hearts to become burden for souls in our villages and our cities right here in our backyard. So he sees these things. He sees people fainting. Not like physically, but the word there means being tired. They're weary. He sees people scattered. The idea is they're sort of walking around aimlessly. They're lost about heaven and hell and eternity. They're not even thinking about heaven and hell and eternity. They're guideless. They have no shepherd. So they have no eternal goals. So yesterday, I'm out and about. I'm celebrating my brother-in-law's birthday, and we had a bunch of us that were out just in public for like the whole afternoon at different places just celebrating his birthday. And as I'm out and about, a lot of his friends were there, and I don't know everybody, so believe this or not, if I'm not in my, like, realm, I'm super introverted. Like, I'm more just, I don't want to come off, you know, loud, because I'm never loud, or like, you know, I don't want to be too much, so I just sort of sit back and hang out, and I'll talk with anybody, but I'm not going to be overbearing to anybody either. I don't want to come off that way. So a lot of times I just sit there, and I don't mean to be this way. It's just an innate nature I have. I listen, and I catch everything. I just do. I can hear really well. I don't mean to eavesdrop. I just hear what everybody's saying. I try actually not to look, because sometimes I'm like, oh, don't, you know, I don't want them to know I heard that. I can't see very good, but I can hear really good. So yesterday I'm just doing this. And not necessarily my brother-in-law, his friends, just in general, in public places. I'm just listening and observing. I'm thinking, this is so crazy. What I'm teaching tomorrow is exactly what I'm experiencing right now. So many of these people are meandering through life aimlessly. They don't even know what they're doing here. And they're fainting in the process. They're weary. They're exasperated with trying to fulfill the American dream. Like, I've got to make good money. I've got to have a good-looking wife or husband. I've got to have children that are good at athletics and academics. And I've got to do this and I've got to do that. I got to have a 401k. I got to have retirement. And they're making their head spin in the process. And I'm not saying, because so many times we look at this and we think, oh, the junkie, the person that's, you know, lost in a mess, they're the ones who need Jesus. No, the people who are successful need Jesus. The people who are moral need Jesus. The people that look the part, the loafers on, the plaid shirt tucked in, the hair parted, they need Jesus too, just as much as the guy stripped down naked in the inner city. Everybody needs Jesus. And Jesus wants to show us that, but we got to lift our heads up. And we've got to see a hurting humanity all around us. Can I get an amen this morning? This is a very important message. So Jesus, he does this, he sees this, it breaks his heart. And he says to his disciples, the word disciple means learner. The word disciple means listener. His students, he says to his students here in verse 37, he says, the harvest truly is plenteous based on what he sees all around. There's people everywhere, he's saying. He goes, but here's the problem. The laborers are few. The solution, he says in verse 38, is this. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Then in Luke chapter 6, the synoptic gospel, it tells us that Jesus goes, departs from his guys, and he prays in the mountain all night to his Father in heaven. He comes back down, he selects his apostles. He says this, a world of dying humanity all around. But here's the deal. I'm choosing, and I feel like bad even using this grammar, but to speak of Jesus, but he's even saying this, I'm choosing to need helpers in the form of the likes of all of us here today to go take the message, the good news of Calvary, and to go give it to the world. That's the solution here. Jesus says this, okay? I am here and I'm growing in fame. I'm growing in popularity. Everywhere I go, there are crowds of people. So the solution to meet the needs of the crowds of people is other people who have been saved and redeemed. Now I read this, I think about this, and right away I think that's crazy. You get people around, people make messes. You get people around, people bring problems. More people, more problems, right? I mean, you get people around like us, like me, that are flawed and messed up, and we got baggage and we've got sinfulness, and then we get a part of a program, we taint it. Jesus, you got a great thing going on. You're going to bring these guys around? And that's exactly what he did, and that's exactly what he does. You understand? Instead of taking angels and sending them down to proclaim the gospel, he picks us. He picks guys like these before us this morning that are known as the apostles. You guys read of the apostles, you hear the apostles, you think, oh yes, St. Peter. Oh yes, St. Paul. Oh yes, St. Luke. Listen, a saint in the Bible is a sinner who's been forgiven. These people were extremely ordinary. These people that he chooses removes all excuses from you and I this morning as to why we can't get in the game. And we're going to go through them rather quickly, one by one, and we're going to identify them as we do so that we leave here today charged, ready to serve our captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, it says this in chapter 10, verse 2, the first of the 12 is Simon Peter. There are four lists of the apostles given in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke in the book of Acts. Every time in all four lists, Simon Peter is mentioned first. The lists vary a little bit, but they are broken up. All lists are broken up in groups of three, obviously, and each group of three, made up of four, has a leader. And Simon Peter is the leader of the first group every single time. That's significant to me because Peter is not perfect. Is he perfect? No, he's not perfect. Peter, though, I think that probably a lot of you would agree with me, he's my favorite out of all of them. Anybody else feel like, yeah, mine too? Even if you don't feel that way, will you just raise your hand so I can feel like somebody's listening this morning? Thank you. God bless you guys in the back and over there. It's always the people in the back helping the teacher out. They got a bad rap, those of you sitting in the back, but you guys are the best. People in the front need to step up their game a little bit. All of you guys, thank you, sir. Simon, his name means listener. Simon, his name means one who hears. That is the total opposite of the nature of Simon Peter. We call him as the church impetuous Peter. He's the guy who always speaks. He's quick to speak. He's slow to listen. He's the guy, right, who in Matthew 16, he makes that pronouncing of the gospel. He says, you are the Son of the living God. He declares who Jesus is perfectly. And on that truth, Jesus said, that's it. You've got it. And upon that truth, Peter, I'll build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail. I mean, that's like, woo. I mean, you're going to run through a wall with that. Jesus just told you, that's it. You got it right. I mean, have you ever had like a teacher say that about you and you feel spectacular? Happened to me once in all 12 years of school. You got it right, David Tommaso. But could you imagine Jesus saying, you got it right. And upon that truth, I'm going to build my church, Peter. And the gates of hell won't prevail. Minutes later, Jesus talking about the cross. Minutes later, Jesus talking about his suffering. Peter says, come here, buddy. To Jesus. And he says, let's stop the talk about the cross. Let's not do this anymore. It's not going to happen so long as I'm around. And Jesus responds back to him and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Satan uses Peter minutes after he declares the fundamental truth of the church. He's impetuous. He speaks out. He cuts off Malchus's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is getting arrested to go to Calvary's Hill. He's terrible with a sword. He misses he cuts his right ear off, which shows you he's not a good swordsman. He's a fisherman. Had he been a good swordsman, he would have killed Malchus. And Jesus has to, right before the cross, perform one last miracle and take that ear and put it back on and look at Peter like, are you kidding me, man? You know, this is Peter. He's impetuous. He's boisterous. He's overwhelming. He's just a doer. He just does. But he's going to go from Simon to Peter, which means rock or pebble. Or we can call him Rocky this morning for relativity's sake. We can just say he's Rocky now. Jesus makes him Rocky, but it takes him 50 years. See, we read about these guys and we think that they were just born this way. No. They were born again. And then all of their lives, from them getting in the game to the day they die, Jesus sanctifies them and makes them into what he sees them to be when he calls them. That was wordy. Let me give it to you like this. When Jesus calls you, he sees you in the finished product of what he's going to make you. By his power and ability, the Bible says that he calls those things what are not yet what they will be. He sees you finished. We're rough around the edges, aren't we? We've got flaws, we've got frailties, we've got weaknesses, we've got sinfulness. Man, if Jesus was to tell us what we're going to be when we take our last breath, we wouldn't believe it. But as we go for the ride and as we serve him, as we become a harvester for his harvest field, as we're reaching out to the world around us, Jesus is reaching out and working within us. And he's sanctifying us, he's setting us apart, and he's changing us from the inside out. So if you're a Peter this morning, you're impetuous, you speak out a lot, you don't really filter what you're thinking. You say what you think and you don't really listen well. Are you that way? If you're that way this morning, Jesus can and Jesus will use you just like he did this man of old. Amazing, isn't it? Because some of you are here today, I'm seeing faces right now. And I'm seeing faces of people I haven't seen in a while. I'm seeing faces of people that I recognize, but I haven't seen you in a while. And so maybe you're here today feeling a little uneasy, feeling like, I don't know, maybe you wrestled with this before you got here. Should I go? Should I stay? I don't know. I guess I'll just go. Hopefully nobody sees me. But now I saw you. And you got to be reminded this morning that your God is a God of grace. That he called you knowing that you were going to fail him. He called you knowing that you were going to mess up. Listen, Peter is the guy that denies the Lord 3 times before the rooster crows twice on the night of his crucifixion. The one that promised Jesus, as long as I'm around, nothing will ever happen to you, is the one that's a coward around the fire denying he knows the Lord to little schoolgirls. I swear I don't know him. I swear to God I don't know him. I have nothing to do with that man. And as he's saying that, Jesus turns and they catch eyes. You might think, well, he got stuck with Peter. No, I already told you in Luke chapter 6, it says that he prayed all night. He handpicked him. Nobody better to give out the gospel of grace and have the whole first half of the book of Acts focused on than a man who has been such a recipient of grace. Because when you understand grace, you're a world changer. When you understand grace, you're a religion changer. When you have a grasp on grace, you have freedom for people's souls to give out. And there's nobody better to be the captain of Jesus Christ's men than Simon Peter. I could spend all morning on him. He's my favorite. So grateful for Simon Peter. Andrew. He's the brother of Peter. Listen to me, please. If you have a problem with families that serve the Lord, it's biblical.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.